The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to Jesus as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to the elders and chief priests, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things." Jesus asked them, "Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. They said to themselves, "If we say from heaven, Jesus will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe John the Baptist?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John the Baptist as a prophet." So the Pharisees and chief priests answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." "What do you think?" Jesus asked. "A man had two sons. He went to the first son and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'I will not.' But later the son changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And the second son answered, 'I will go, sir.' But the second son did not go. 'Which of the two did the will of the father?' Jesus asked. They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your mind and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I stand before you today, I'm a little bit nervous. Well, I'm more than a little bit nervous, quite a bit nervous. I was up quite a bit last night, concerned about this Sunday, because I've decided to do something I've never done before. And you can tell by how fast I'm talking that means that I'm nervous. And I am going to play my guitar today, which, we'll see how that goes. No. First, a little story about my guitar to set things up. This guitar is very special to me. I imagine, like most musicians and their instruments, and I'm putting myself broadly in the musician category, no doubt, this guitar was a gift. I had just graduated from seminary, and my mother came to me and said, "Well, what can I get you? You're now a young pastor. What do you need?" And I answered, "A guitar." I couldn't play the guitar, but I knew that every minister or pastor worth his salt plays a guitar. They play them at campfires. They play them at youth retreats. They serenade their wives with them when they're gone for hours a week. If they have no children's story, they can just sing a song. They can make up for lousy sermons with a guitar. When you show up with a guitar, people think you know what you're doing. It makes you like 20% cooler to go to any place holding a guitar. So I asked for a guitar. And this was like 9 years ago. And so my mother, in her great love and compassion, bought me a guitar. And by all accounts, it is an excellent guitar. I'm probably not worthy to even play this guitar. It is a Washburn, and it makes the floatiest sounds. It's just absolutely beautiful. It has rich, deep, oaky tones. It carries well, has an electronic pickup, and I look forward to playing it for you today. There's a problem. When my mother came to me, and I was with my lovely wife, Laura Lee, said, "Sheldon, what do you want?" And I asked the guitar. I saw Laura Lee roll her eyes. And she asked, "What are you going to do with that guitar?" I said, "I'm going to play that guitar."
and as a great wife, a supportive helper sent by God, she said, okay, I'll learn it with you. Laura Lee, would you come join me with my guitar today? No, okay. Not to foreshadow where this story's going. I was going to learn to play. In my mind, I told myself, I'm going to take an hour and a half every day. So I got my guitar, I got a matching hard case for it, and I got some books. I got Guitar for Dummies. I got beginner guitar, introductory guitar, learn to play the guitar. I watched guitar videos on YouTube. I sat down. I started to finger some chords. I even learned a few rudimentary songs like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and Wasting Away in Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett. But there was a problem with my guitar playing. It was hard work. Sitting there, staring at my fingers, looking at the strings, slowly trying to thumb out some resemblance of a song, reading books, trying to memorize the notes, is that an F or an E, hearing the songs, listening to my wife play better than me. It was all too much. And slowly my hour and a half devoted to guitar playing every day lessened and lessened and lessened. And pretty soon I put my guitar back in its case and I set it against the door and I kind of didn't think about it anymore. And so now I come here 9 years later and I have my guitar, which is in factory new condition, and I cannot play anything. But the problem is, my desire to play the guitar is still just as real now as it was back then. My need to play the guitar is just as real now as it was back then. I don't hate the guitar. I love the guitar, the sounds it can make, the songs you can play, what you can do with the guitar. I respect those who can play the guitar. But I never followed through. I just wanted to have a guitar, to have a case, and to simply travel to campfires and cookouts and Sunday morning worship and play beautiful songs about apostles and Moses and you name it. But I can't do any of that because I didn't put any work into it. Like many good ideas, I got frustrated. Simply wanting to be a guitar player didn't make me a guitar player. Simply recognizing how important playing the guitar is didn't make me a guitar player. Time, effort, and energy were the only things that would make me a guitar player, and I didn't invest any of them. And I think this is true for all humans. How many of us have an exercise bike in the basement? A weight table, a treadmill, a thigh master, things that were all bought with great intentions. We are going to use the treadmill for an hour every morning before work. Well, guess what happens? Pretty soon that hour turns into half an hour. So without knowing it, that every day before work kind of turns into every second day before work. And before you know it, you're hanging your laundry and ironing on it. And putting the old box of Christmas decorations on it. And it sits vacant. Simply wanting something doesn't make it so. Simply wanting to lose 10 pounds doesn't drop 10 pounds off me. I've got to get on the stair climber. I've got to get on the treadmill. I've got to put on my running shoes and go for walks. You name it. We all know it takes more than just a cognitive reasoning, just a desire. It takes effort. And effort's in short supply. Because our lives seem so full. Our lives seem so complete that we come home after work and we just want to quote-unquote zone out. Maybe we'll pursue something that brings us joy. The flower bed, a little time on the computer, maybe checking Facebook. But at the end of the day, it seems that we don't have the energy. And so the hour and a half of the guitar quickly gets replaced. Our homes are filled with monuments to desire versus action.
Our garages are filled with golf clubs and tennis rackets and tents and coolers and you name it. All things that hint to our desires. We want to jog more. We want to play golf more. We want to play tennis more. We think we're going to go camping more. We think we're going to go fishing even more. And so we buy the camper, the tent, the fishing boat, the reels, the rods, the running shoes, the right coats. But in reality, nothing really changes. Because it's hard to change. As human beings, we seem to be most comfortable in neutral. Because when we're not going anywhere, when we're not doing anything, we don't hit any bumps on the road. Nothing really upsets us. We're kind of left just to stew on our own. My guitar is a testimony to that. Oh, I'm busy, all right. My days are filled. I go to sleep with things unaccomplished. But if I wanted to learn to play that guitar, I could have by now. I knew where the time was. It's more than just time. We say there's no time, but that's really an excuse for we don't really want to put the effort into it. I don't have time to do so-and-so. I don't have time to do this. And I'm frankly a little bit fed up with that excuse. Because for you that made time to come here this morning, there are hundreds who when I talk to this week will say, I don't have time for church. I wish I did, but I don't. And I don't believe it. It's like me saying, I can't play the guitar now because I don't have time. I'm 10 pounds too heavy because I don't have time to jog. My golf score is over 150 because I don't have time to practice. No. It's the effort. I don't have the energy to expend towards that pursuit. We make time for all sorts of things. Time for things that will pay us no dividends whatsoever. 2001, Government of Canada did a census. And that census, which is the latest numbers I have, 77% of Canadians said they are Christians. There are about 35 million people in Canada. 77% of 35 million is 27 million. What percentage of that 27 million people do you think will attend church, not this week, this month? 5% of that 27 million of confessing Christians in Canada will attend church this month. But they're too busy, you say. Okay, people work Sunday mornings. I get that. Our hospitals need to be open. We need police and firefighters. Maybe people need to go to Walmart. Who knows? I understand that. Being Christian, as we see in today's reading of the Pharisees, is more than just church attendance. Fair enough. But surely there are weekly lives in this country then must be filled with the generosity of stewardship, charity, acts of love, Christ-like sacrifice. Those must be all around us, right? Imagine 27 million people in Canada waking up every day and doing what Paul says in today's reading, having their minds conformed to Christ. Imagine 27 million Canadians saying, I want to be like Jesus to the world today. I want to help the poor, work for the downtrodden, bring healing, make love known, spread the word. These are all marks of the Christian, according to today's readings. The reality is, just like our guitar, like the stair climber, the treadmill, the tennis racket, the fishing boat, you name it. Simply wanting to do something, simply wanting to be something is not enough. It takes action. To be a person of faith is not simply a statement of belief. It's a statement of who you are. When we confess today the words of the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in God the Father Almighty, that we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified on the cross, was buried, on the third day rose again,
and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. We are making a statement about not just what we believe, but about who we are. Created by God, called by God, and knowing that God is watching. Knowing that God expects action. We have the story in today's gospel reading. The parable of two sons. First son says, no, that I can't help. Then maybe his heart wells up with guilt, who knows. He shows up to work on the farm. Second son says, yeah, dad, I'm number one son, I'm going to be there. What time? He skips off. Christ asks, who really did the will of the Father? The first son. Christ is talking to the Pharisees, those who know the law, those who know the Torah and the Talmud and the rules and the expectations and the obligations, they know it. But Christ's beef with them is that they don't live it. To know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, forgive me as I forgive the trespasses of others, is not simply a mental statement. It's not simply a statement of belief. It's a statement of action. Lord, help me to live this way. Orientate me to this life. Faithful living. Faithfulness. Being filled with faith. We know the tree, according to Scripture, by the fruit it bears. A knowledge of God. A faith in God. A knowledge of Christ. A faith in Christ is a call to action in the world. It's not just a cerebral exercise. It's not answers to questions. It's not a little box, Christian or non-Christian, on a census form. It's a way of living. So Christ says, yeah, I'm going to the prostitutes. I'm going to the tax collectors. I'm going to go to the sinners. And as we see through Paul, I'm going to go to the Gentiles because you've closed your mind to me. For you, it's all about the head. It's not about action. It's not about love, service, charity, or support. It's simply about how I wash my hands, who my friends are, what kind of food I'm cooking, what kind of utensils I'm using, what kind of pots my food is cooking in. But it's not about reaching out. It's not about getting up in the morning and putting the hard effort into life. I can buy paint. I can buy a paintbrush. I can know how to use the paint and the paintbrush. But if I don't put on my work clothes and get outside, my fence won't paint itself. Simply wanting a new fence doesn't give me a new fence. Buying new running shoes doesn't make me a jogger. Buying new golf clubs doesn't make me Tiger Woods. I need to use these things. Having a guitar doesn't make me a musician. Find anybody in life that you admire with a skill that you would like to possess. Are they able to play the piano? Are they able to play the guitar? Is their golf game better than you? Is their marriage better than yours? Is their relationship with their children better than yours? Are their finances better than yours? You name it. Whatever yardstick you want to use for better than, find that person and ask them how they got that. And I guarantee their answer will be through hard work. Don't believe that people are born naturals at things. Yes, we might have some innate ability, but we need to take that ability. Tiger Woods wasn't born to play in the PGA Tour. His father took him for 12 hours every day from the age of 6 to the golf course. He got coaches. He played in school. He refined his game. He went to tournaments. Then he got to the PGA. Mozart wasn't born a great musician. His parents hired personal tutors. He had a family of wealth. He kept working on things. He composed many acts that were simply trash bins. And eventually he got better and better and better. It takes work. Nothing comes easy in life. We hold out the easy dreams. The lottery, for example. We love the American Idol. If few weeks of music competition, I can be a star. Win the 649, there's my dreams come true. But the reality is, for those of us who really live in the world, that the lottery numbers don't hit, that the lightning bolt doesn't bless, we need to work. And often, what you put into something, you get out of something. And that's the reality of living with faith. I'm not preaching a doctrine of works righteousness or works salvation. I'm just saying, if you come here and you stand around the font and you say, yes, God, I'm going to raise my child and teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. I'm going to instruct them about the things of faith. I'm going to bring them faithfully to the services of God's house. I'm going to teach them right from wrong. And you do none of that. You leave here and go to Grandma's house and have a potluck, open a few gifts and go back to work and life on Monday. Then what really happens? How does the Holy Spirit have time to grow? How does the Holy Spirit have time to mature, to blossom, to bloom, to take hold? I can take the best seeds, the best tree, the best vegetables, the best fruit, and if I put them in infertile land, if I don't fertilize them, if I don't water them, if I don't prune them, it doesn't matter what I started with. They're going to wither and die. And this is apt to our life of faith. God's given us the best, the Holy Spirit, the gift of Christ, the knowledge of salvation, the ability to pray, the support of everyone here today. But if we utilize none of that, if we don't tend to it, if we don't work at it, if we don't covet it, then what becomes of it? I think I know what becomes of it. Nothing. Nothing comes of it. We're simply left with a few ideas in our head, a few ideas of faith, a few abstract knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the bells of God's Word. So when the rubber hits the road in life, what does that do? What when the big wind comes through town? We had one this past summer, the plow wind it was called. Which trees were broken? Which trees were destroyed? The trees with the worst roots, with the shallowest depths. The trees that had disease, the trees that were rotten, the trees that weren't cared for. When life brings the big storm, when the plow wind comes at us, how deep are our roots in God's Word, in prayer, in support, in the knowledge of Christ? How have we worked to keep ourselves healthy and holy? How have we fertilized ourselves with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, with knowledge of Scripture? We're seeing God at work in our lives. Because the big wind will come. It'll come in the form of death. It'll come in the form of bankruptcy. It'll come in the form of tragedy. And they'll hit us smack center. And we'll lean and we'll shake. But will we fall down? Will we be broken? Scripture says no. That we will stand strong. But this Word of God, this faith, this Holy Spirit, like the guitar. I could have the world's best guitar. I could have a 1973 Fender Stratocaster right here. I could have a titanium pickup. I could have more amps than AC/DC behind me. I could have laser lights. I could have dry ice and smoke all through here. I could be sitting in Wembley Stadium. You could be the multitudes of hundreds of thousands of people. And I still couldn't play this stupid thing. Or I could have a $5 out-of-tune broken guitar from a garage sale yesterday. And I'd still play it just as bad. But it's not the guitar's fault. The $1 million guitar, the $5 guitar, I can blame neither. It's the problems with me. I can't play it. God's given us all we need. We gather here to take what God has given us and multiply it and grow in it, in our knowledge, in our expectations, in our hope, in our dreams, in our faith. So when the big wind of life comes, we don't get knocked over. I can own a pair of running shoes, but that doesn't make me an Olympic sprinter. I can own a gallon of paint, but that doesn't make me Michelangelo. I can own a fast car, but that doesn't make me Mario Andretti. I can own a guitar, but that doesn't make me a musician. I can own a Bible, but that doesn't make me... You can fill in the blanks. Amen.